what we as Bible-believing Christians, we want to do is follow that New Testament model. But there are people who attack that model, even though it's replete throughout the New Testament. The New Testament model is, God has given you His Word, and you follow His Word. The question Paul asks is, do we follow letters or the Spirit? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, he begins. Now remember where we left off. It's all interconnected. And let's begin in verse 1. Read that with me. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? I pronounced that word wrong. Commendation from you. Notice what he asked the question, a couple of questions here. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? And then he says, or need we, as some others, epistles? Those are letters. It's the word letters of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you. You'll find this in the world where you should expect it. You should expect to see this kind of thing in the flesh and in the world. When it comes to being an engineer, it comes to being head of some society, it's acceptable. It's what we should expect, that those who hold such positions have earned letters of recommendation or commendation. That's what we call diplomas, certificates, degrees, references. All those fall under this heading. Because you're functioning in the world. So you need to know if somebody's going to do surgery on you, it's nice to look up and see a degree, a diploma on the wall from a school that you know is legitimate. How would you feel, first of all, if there were no diplomas anywhere, and when you asked, the doctor said, "Oh, I just self-taught. I'm self-taught." Oh, when it comes to being a doctor and doing surgery on me, I don't want a self-taught doctor. But when it comes to surgery, most of them have actually performed surgery before they were licensed to do so, and they perform many surgeries since, so you know that they are the real deal. But how would you feel if you walked in and there's a diploma or something on the wall and it said, the Internet Institute of Surgery? So there are certain places and times where we want to see those letters of recommendation, those degrees. But when it comes to the church, it's not supposed to be like that. One of the laughable things is how many people I know who have sent $100 in and got a certificate or diploma mailed to them on the internet, ordaining them as a minister. But common sense should kick in. And we know somebody who was just strung out on drugs and just messed up. And then all of a sudden they showed up and started announcing to everybody they'd been ordained as a minister. And that's how they did it. They just paid $100, which they got ripped off. One of my friends told this guy that did that, he said, "Well, I would have printed you something off for $25." You know? But sadly in the church today, this is how we practice. This is how people are ordained to the ministry, not because they've been mentored and they've actually been in the ministry, but they've gone off to a college and got a degree, and then they're ordained because they can answer some questions and they toe the party line. And these are rhetorical questions. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some others? Not Paul and the true apostles. They didn't practice this. This is how some others did it. They started printing up epistles of commendation and letters of commendation. And Paul says, are we supposed to stoop to have that kind of thing ourselves? No, that's not how the church functions. When you see things like that, the church is operating in the flesh when it imitates the world. When churches function in a way where you're ordained to the ministry because you went off to the school and got a piece of paper or certificate, that's not according to the Word of God. That's not functioning in the Spirit. That is when the church has become like the world and now functioning in that kind of level of mentality, that state of mind, that state of heart, worldly imitation, rather than the imitation of Christ. Christ took 12 men and he mentored them. For 3 years they studied under him in the sense of ministering with him. After Jesus ascended to heaven and Paul was ordained to the ministry after this Damascus Road experience, Paul didn't go off to seminary. And he was ordained, he was taught, he says, by Christ himself. Jesus himself appeared to him and taught him, and he received visions and words of knowledge through in that means. And then Paul went and into the ministry without certificates, diplomas, or anything like that. And then Paul himself found young men like Timothy that we're studying on Wednesday night. And he took Timothy, and he didn't send him off to Bible college. He mentored Timothy under him and let Timothy experience the ministry along with Paul. And then when he was mature and ready, we believe he became pastor at Ephesus. You see, that's how the Spirit rules, and that's how the church functions when the church is functioning in the Spirit. And again, it's not to say that there's no study involved, obviously, but it's not to earn a piece of paper that you nail to the wall. And we could run all over the Scripture and find this, of course, but I want to look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. This is a standard principle for Christians. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's being done for the Lord, then Romans 8, 1 stands as your principle. And it says, read that with me, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As a Christian, we do not function in a worldly mentality and look at the world and say, we're going to mimic the world. What we as Christians are to do is open the Word of God and say that we are going to function according to the Word of God. Sadly, that's, I think, largely behind what we're seeing in the pulpit today, what we're seeing in Christian scholarship, so-called today, with the new versions, but also with the false doctrines. The church growth movement is totally man-made, worldly, doesn't have anything to do with Scripture. I mean, I've been to those seminars. It's incredible to sit and watch hundreds of men who claim to be preachers not want to regurgitate while the Spirit of God is being thrown out the window and men are being told, let's do things the way the world does it. But they just sit there just sinking it in, taking notes, spending $200 or $300 on all the DVDs and CDs and workbooks they can take home and then run through there. That's a whole purpose-driven life thing, the purpose-driven church. It's destroying churches. Churches that used to preach the gospel and used to teach the word, they're all program driven now, and they're all doing things just like you would see done at Amway or some other business down the road. Fine with Amway doing it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not in the Amway, but if you are, God bless you. But don't bring it into the church.
Right.
We walk after the Spirit. And that's why then, if you go back there at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, after asking the rhetorical questions of do we act like the world and have the diplomas and degrees on our walls and everything, verse 2, he says, ye are our epistle, which that epistle means letter. It's a good thing to kind of pound in your head or make a note in your Bible there. There's a story the Sunday school teacher asked the kids, now what is an epistle? And a little boy raises his hand and she says, yes, Johnny. And he says, the epistles are the apostles' wives. Epistles are letters. You are our epistle, he says, written in our hearts. You see, it's not, there's no printing, no frames, not nailing it to the wall. It's life. It's the Spirit in you. He says you're known and read of all men. He goes on to say, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Same thing's true here. You are the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. And then when you go outside these four walls and you reach out to people, preach the gospel or teach the word of God or share your ministry with them and pray for them and encourage them, then they are transformed and so they become the epistle. Your epistle. In Christ by your ministry. That's how the church functions in the Spirit. He goes on to say, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. So this is not a matter of the printer spitting out a diploma that can make you something in the eyes of God. The same thing also goes when it comes to not just having your degree, but a lot of denominations have developed this hierarchy. You move up and you go from being pastor to reverend to most reverend to highest reverend to then, you know, the most high whatever. You know, it just becomes ridiculous the titles they put on these men, and they earn these letters. That's what they're called. The titles are based on the letters they earn, the same way you would earning diplomas and degrees. And you always know when someone is of a worldly mind when they're trying to refute you. Let's say they're trying to attack you on the issue of translations or any other issue, the rapture or whatever. One of the first questions they'll ask after they see that you know what you're talking about, where did you get your degree? Where did you go to school? Why? Because they are functioning in the world mentality, and you are only legitimized by the certificate, the letter of recommendation you have.
From the school of Calvary.
Yes. Professors or school administrations or denominations, it's not with them putting a stamp of approval on you and giving you certificates, diploma. Your sufficiency is not from man. Also, your sufficiency is not of yourself. The emphasis today is trying to for you to build yourself up and think highly of yourself and understand you are wonderful. You were what they take these true passages of Scripture and totally warp what they mean. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, that's true. The human body is fearfully and wonderfully made. But you as a person are depraved. You are sinful. You are depraved. And without the Spirit of God, you're ugly.
Preacher.
Amen.
You got it right.
Now, again, there aren't very many preachers that are going to tell you you're ugly. So appreciate that. But listen closely. Without the Spirit of God in you, you are ugly like a demon. Why? Because without the Spirit of God, you are a child of wrath and wickedness. Depraved and deserving eternal damnation. So taking a bunch of unsaved kids into public schools and telling them they're wonderful and they need to esteem themselves and all that, that is Satanism. That is the exact opposite of truth. Those children, I don't care if it's a public school or not, those children need to hear the truth. You're a little, depraved, spoiled, rotten brat who needs to be saved. Amen.
That's right.
Mommy!
That's got it.
And then when that little depraved, spoiled, rotten, sinning brat is born again, then you see a transformation. I don't care how young or old. It doesn't matter. You have to be lost and understand you're lost before you can be saved. And we've got an entire generation of people who just think they're wonderful as they are. I'm okay, you're okay, it's okay. And they're eternally lost. And that's because they have found their sufficiency in man and in themselves. And that's why you'll hear people. I've gone to funerals. I've talked to people and listen to them talk in reflection of their life, and it's all about this degree, that accomplishment, being able to do this or do that. And that's what they think. They have found what they think is their sufficiency in the world, in man, and in themselves. And when they stand before the Lord, that's all going to burn. Every degree you earn, every accolade you receive, every achievement in this life, if it's not done for Christ, if you didn't earn that with the intent of pleasing the Lord and doing all to the glory of the Lord, it'll burn. If you earned that degree or earned that accolade or you achieved something in an effort to glorify Jesus Christ, yes, even on the job, then you will be rewarded for that. It's the intent. Why did you do it? And most people today are earning all these man-made awards and accolades and achievements for self. And once you realize your real state of being a sinner in need of salvation, and you realize that you are only worth anything because of Christ, and then you begin to function with a desire to accomplish things because of Christ, and to glorify Christ, and to serve Christ because you love Christ, that changes it all. That gives what you're doing purpose. We talked about retirement this morning. It means nothing. If you're lost, it means nothing. But if you're saved, then you can achieve that retirement having worked and earned a living, pleasing the Lord, to glorify the Lord. And then when you become retired, it just frees you up to do more for the Lord. Amen. If that's the kind of attitude you've got, you're going to be rewarded for that. But if you're wanting to please the Lord, let's close. Let's read this last verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says, read that with me. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So God is the one who's made you able. Everyone in this room has a ministry. You may not be fulfilling that ministry, but God's given you that ministry. If you're sitting around doing nothing, you're losing out because God's given you a ministry. I can't tell you what that ministry is. We've said that before. That's something only you and God know. There are many different ways you can be in the ministry. But no matter where you are, whether it's in doing one thing or the other, you do it for the glory of God and you take advantage of every opportunity to preach the gospel, to stand for righteousness, and to encourage the brethren in their walk in the Lord. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be in Pittsburgh on business. Amen? Amen? Doesn't matter where you are. But he says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And here's where I want to get into this about the Word of God. We talked about it last week, those who corrupt the Word of God. Well, a lot of people use this as an excuse for corrupting the Word of God because they claim, see, the Bible, those are letters in the New Testament, and it's not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So they take Paul's words and his intended meaning and they twist it. Where he says, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And they teach that it actually refers to the Bible. There are people who only use the Bible so that they can tear down the Bible. And people will use that and they'll say, well, this is talking about the Bible. And it's not talking about the Bible. Paul is referring to those man-made letters, not God-breathed letters. You see, the Bible is not written with ink, although we have it in our possession in ink. But you can burn my Bible that I have right here, but you have not burned the Word of God.
That's right. That's it.
That's the difference. The Word of God is not tangible, although we make it tangible for communication reasons. Look what he says in John 6:63. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, which are in our Bible now, they are spirit, and they are life. See, it's not the letter in the sense of man-made letters of commendation, that sort of thing. But as far as the Bible, they are those words that you have on those pages, they are spirit. That's why Christians don't kill people for burning Bibles. The Quran, you got to protect it because it's a man-made book. And full of error and fiction. So you burn the Quran, riot and kill people. That's what Muslims do. But you burn the Bible, that was a waste of time and money. Oh well. You didn't burn the Word of God. The words of God are spirit. And they cannot be destroyed. We get our doctrine of the scriptures from 2 Timothy 3:16 that says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the scripture are the words, but they are not of the letter in the sense of being with ink. They are given by inspiration of God. And that means, it comes. We'll just refer to the Greek term there, no matter what manuscript you read. The word there is theonoustos. Theo, like theology, theos, God, and noustos, where we get air, breathe, pneumonia, noustos, see the connection there? God breathed, or God spirited. We get the same word, spirit and breathe, come from pneuma, the root pneuma. It's the same thing, God spirited, God breathed. It's not of the letter, in the sense, the word of God itself. These words are spirit because they are God-breathed words. When you read your Bible, you're reading words that have been put to print, but those words were breathed by God. Shakespeare was inspired to write his works, but his words were not inspired. Shakespeare was inspired, moved by whatever. You can say it was by God or by him or by the times he lived in or whatever. There's an inspiration of man like that. But this is a divine inspiration where the words written in the Bible are like no other words, not even our Constitution, by the way. The Constitution is ordained by God, but the words of the Constitution are not God-breathed. And there were some errors in that Constitution. We have to fix those with amendments. But it's still the best man-made document on the planet. But it doesn't compare to our Bible. The Constitution is not God-breathed, but our Bible is God-breathed. The words, they are spirit. They're God-breathed. And that then, with that understanding, you understand what he means when he says that he has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. You see, you have the Spirit of God in you as a child of God. And you have words that are Spirit given to you. And the Spirit of God using you to preach and teach these words that are Spirit, you are functioning in the Spirit. Amen. There is no such thing as being a Spirit-filled Christian and not being full of the Word of God and preaching and teaching the Word of God. A lot of these denominations and groups are to talk about Spirit-filled, Spirit-baptized, Holy Ghost fire, make all kinds of noise and everything, have these big conventions and hoopla and everybody's dancing around. That's not Spirit, that's hoopla. That's emotion, that's hype. When you, in a worldly sense, it's spirited maybe, but in the godly sense, in the biblical sense, if you want to walk in the Spirit, be full of the Spirit, then you are full of these words that Jesus said are Spirit and life. And when you're full of these words and you have the Holy Spirit in you, being a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, then He then moves you and directs you to speak and to live. And that's the true Spirit-filled life. Yeah, if there's any aggravation in the Christian life, it is that we forget so much. Read it. And then a couple weeks later, you're like, oh yeah, I remember, wait a minute, it's up there somewhere. Yeah. it's back there, let me kick it forward. Or say we have photographic memory, but we've run out of film.
Yeah.
But keep in mind that all of this hinges on, I'm not just talking to you, but even those you love and you try to talk to about the Bible, and they seem to be clueless and not get it, the question must begin with, are you born again? Do you have the Spirit of God in you? If that person hasn't first dealt with what we talked about, that they're lost and need salvation, if they have not dealt with the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid the full sin, full price of their sin, He became sin. It's paid in full. But then when they buried Him, He rose from the grave. He conquered that sin. He conquered death. If they have not trusted in that and been born again and received the Spirit of God, then you're banging your head literally against a wall trying to talk to them. But also keep in mind that as Christians, people can become so worldly minded and corrupted in their thinking that they function in the flesh. That doesn't mean they're going to hell, but it does mean they are under condemnation. And God will have to deal with them to bring them out of that worldliness into the Spirit again, where they can once again function in the Spirit and have a good, solid, biblical, Spirit-filled relationship with the Lord. And that's a warning to all of us here. Don't let yourself get in that worldly rut. Don't allow yourself to fall into that worldly state of mind and think of things in terms that the world thinks, because you'll get stuck in that frame of mind. You won't think in terms of the Spirit. You'll be miserable. God will have to chastise you as a loving father does his children. And you just make life a whole lot rougher than it has to be. But if you will function in the Spirit, then you'll have a much more satisfying life, and you will enjoy your salvation.